Well, it's not often that this happens, but this year my daughter's birthday has fallen on a Sunday. And so 25 years ago today, Miss Carly Blair Allen reluctantly came into this world. And you can ask Joanna about that story, but as most parents will attest, we don't even remember what life was like before having kids. Amen? And so Carly and I had a very special bond from her earliest of days. You see, I started graduate school just a couple of months after she was born, and Joanna was making big bucks teaching public school, or at least compared to what I was making teaching private school and working in a church. And so Joanna went to work, and I stayed home and became Mr. Mom. And so it was a great, great time. And like I said, that was 25 years ago. Well, we discovered the other day that Carly and her roommate Jessica, who are both turning 25 this year, are not the only ones turning 25. You see, the restaurant Raising Cane's is also celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. And my son just really got happy for some reason. When the girls were at the restaurant last Sunday, which is a fairly common occurrence on Sunday afternoons, they posed next to the picture of Cane. In case you were wondering, Cane is the name of a dog. And so they posed next to this picture of Cane, as they were doing this, one of the big bosses, one of the ones that usually is not working there at the restaurant, and Carly told me that because she's there enough, she kind of knows the staff, you know? But one of the big bosses came by, and he had this weird look on his face, and so he's like, "What are y'all doing?" And so Carly said that she told him about the fact that they were celebrating their 25th birthdays as well. And so fortunately that made the photo op just a little bit less awkward in that moment. And so it didn't take them long to get out of the restaurant after that point. So they headed out to the car, were getting into the car. And as they were getting into their cars to leave, that same manager came hustling out of the restaurant. And with him, he brought a gift, one for Carly and one for Jessica, and that is the Raising Cane's 25th anniversary plush toy. Hey, it will sit there. The cool thing was is that he handed one to both of them, and you know, this is a fairly significant gift because they sell these in the restaurant for almost $10, including tax. So, you know, long story short, it made for a good story. So let's fast forward a couple of days to this past Wednesday. Now, many of you are aware that my father this past year was diagnosed with moderate to severe dementia. And several months ago, we had to make a difficult decision to move him into a memory care facility in Fayetteville. And for about the past 6 months or so, my dad has been non-ambulatory and almost non-communicative. And every now and then when we're visiting him, he'll say a word here or there, or maybe call us by name, or you know, one time I was trying to wake him up, and so I was rubbing his chest and trying to wake him up, and he leaned forward and he said, "Get your hands off of me." And I backed up and I said, "Yes, sir." You know? But anyway, so Dad really hasn't been communicating with us much. But we have found that when we go there as a large group, he really seems to enjoy it when we're all sitting there around him. He doesn't necessarily join in the conversation that much, but he just seems to really enjoy having everybody there, making noise, telling stories, and so forth. So we had the opportunity this last Wednesday to attend a family barbecue that was hosted by the facility. And it was great to see Dad having fun and even saying a few words every now and then and eating a whole lot. Of course, he started with dessert, but you know that's been my dad's SOP for many, many decades, actually. And so as the gathering was coming to an end, we all gathered together in Dad's room when we were talking. And you see, Carly had purchased my dad a Razorback plush toy that he keeps there in his room. And when she saw that plush toy, it reminded her about this plush toy. And so she started to tell everybody in the room the details of this story. And as she was sharing this story, my dad kind of leaned forward in his wheelchair and acted like he wanted to say something, kind of cleared his throat a little bit. And Carly, being attentive as she is, she said, "Papa, what is it? Do you want to say something, Papa?" And my dad looked up at her and he said, "Get to the point." Oh, we all burst into laughter because that was the first time in quite some time that Dad had formed a complete sentence and he chose to use the words, "Get to the point." The funny thing is that Carly really wasn't even being that protracted in her telling of the story. But anyway, Dad is Dad, and so he said that and he realized immediately that he had said something quite funny, and so that made his day, that he could make us all laugh. I was sharing this story the other day, and someone remarked, "Well, that's the John Allen I remember." And so anyway, long story short, we got a big laugh, and we made a memory. So the question is, why in the world am I telling this story, which, Carly, Caleb, catch this for your sister. Well, close enough. Why in the world am I telling this story this morning? Well, if you've looked at the notes or if you're looking at the YouVersion Bible app this morning, you will see that I have 9 points to my message this morning, so I need to take my dad's advice and get to the point. So as we continue our series in the navigating life's relationships, we've come to the portion focused on how to deal with conflicts. Conflicts seem to always happen. Anytime two people or more come together, there's going to be conflict. Conflict cannot always be avoided, but the scripture has advice for us in how we should deal with that conflict. So this morning, we want to go back to the book of Proverbs and spend a few moments there looking for 9 tips in how to deal with conflict. So I invite you to first look at Proverbs chapter 14. We're going to read several verses there. And then we're going to jump ahead to Proverbs 26 and also read from there. If you don't have your Bible, you can read along with us on the screen above my head. So Proverbs chapter 17, beginning in verse 14, the Bible says, "The beginning of strife is like letting out water. So quit before the quarrel breaks out. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Why should a fool have money in his hand to buy wisdom when he has no sense? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. One who lacks sense gives a pledge and puts up security in the presence of his neighbor. Whoever loves transgression loves strife. He who makes his door high seeks destruction." Now, if you would, look at chapter 26. We'll begin reading in verse 17. Proverbs go on and say, "Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'I'm only joking.' For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. as charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Now remember, as we read through these Proverbs, we have to understand that they don't necessarily go together like what we would typically understand Scripture and being able to understand Scripture within its context. But here we have several Scriptures back to back, several Proverbs back to back, that give us some insight as to how we ought to deal with conflict. And so this morning, we're going to start out kind of where we left off last week, if you were here. You see, last week we looked at verses 14 and 15 of chapter 17. And when we looked closely at Proverbs 17, 14, we discovered that the word picture here that the author is using is that of a crack in a dam, and how that starting a quarrel is like having a crack in the dam, and how the water can bust through and cause a major problem, just like a small quarrel can become a really big deal very quickly. So last week I encouraged you to know when to make a run for it. Well, this week I want to encourage you a little bit differently, with a little bit different application from verse 14, and that is the first tip for knowing how to deal with conflict. Don't be afraid to walk away. Don't be afraid to walk away. In other words, quit before the quarrel breaks out. You see, the best way to stop a conflict is for it to never start. Amen? If you don't give it opportunities to start, it will never happen. Now, last week, I also encouraged you to be willing to simply let some things go. But for some reason, I had the wrong text reference for that verse in the notes. So this week, I want to remind you what that was. And it's from Proverbs 12, verse 16, that says, "A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted." If you're foolish, you get mad quick. But if you're wise, you let things go. Like water off a duck's back. You don't get insulted whenever someone says something to you. So the question I have for you this morning is, what kind of person are you? Which of those two best describes you? Do you stay calm when you're insulted? Or do you just shoot it right back at them? Insult them right back? Are you quick-witted? And thus, quick to insult as well. Do you walk away when someone's trying to pick a fight with you? Or do you bow up and look for fights yourself? You see, the best way to avoid a conflict or deal with conflict is to walk away sometimes. Don't let the fight start. Quit before it starts. You know, I believe that it takes more strength to walk away from a fight than it does to actually fight. Having said that, in verse 17, we see this situation in a different light. Notice what it says in 17:17. "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." So the second thing that we see here as far as tips for dealing with conflict is that we ought not run from trouble. So don't be afraid to walk away, but also don't run from trouble. Now, I can choose to walk away from my own conflicts, folks, but I must be faithful to stand together with my brother or my sister in their time of trouble. If we could go ahead and go to the next slide. So don't run from trouble. Now, we've looked at Galatians 6 multiple times over the past few weeks, both in our sermons as well as in our community group studies. We keep coming back to Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, Paul wrote about being there for your brother in his letter to the Romans when he said these words. He said, "We who are strong," this is Romans 15, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. We need to bear one another's burdens. We need to build one another up. We need to be there in times of adversity. We need to be there in times of trouble. Now notice the motivation that is behind each of these verses is the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens so and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Do you know what the law of Christ is? We find it both in John chapter 13 as well as 1 John chapter 4. And that law of Christ is to love one another. He said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you would love one another, even as I have loved you." He said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." You see, our obligation to help the weak is born out of love. So we need to be willing to walk away from our conflicts that we find ourselves in, but we must stand with others in their times of trouble. So number one, don't be afraid to walk away. Number two, don't run from trouble. And number three, don't be blinded by the situation. Don't be blinded by the situation. If you look now at Proverbs 17, verse 15, it says, "He who justifies the wicked and who condemns the righteous are both alike, an abomination to the Lord." Now, we looked at this verse last week as well. And when we did, I cautioned you to be careful to not justify an individual's sin in the life of an individual. Someone you love that's living the way they ought not live. It's easy for us to make justification for them, make excuses for them. And so I said, don't do that. But I think this verse has a secondary application as well. Because you see, when you find yourself in the midst of conflict, I cautioned you to be careful not to justify the individual's sin. But I think also we need to see circumspectly what's going on in that conflict. Now, that's a word you may not be familiar with, the concept of seeing things circumspectly. But what that means is that we see things without bias. There are times that we justify the wicked, and there are times that we condemn the righteous. Why would we justify the wicked? Why would we condemn the righteous? Well, I believe that happens not intentionally, but unintentionally. We do it because we don't see the situation clearly. Somehow we've been duped into thinking someone is really not doing something as bad as they should. Or maybe we've been convinced that somebody's doing something that they're really not doing. And so we condemn the righteous, we justify the wicked. We're blinded by our bias. We all have biases. Don't even try to convince yourself that you're not biased, because we are. Every one of us has bias. And so that's why it's so essential that we ask God for wisdom to help us understand situations. We don't want to be blinded by a situation. We want to see it for what it really is. And so we've got to ask God for wisdom. And thankfully, His Word promises us if we ask, let us ask of God and He will give wisdom to us without reproach, and it will be given to us generously, James 1 tells us. And we need to take Paul's words in Ephesians 5, verse 15, to heart when it comes to this as well. When it tells us to walk circumspectly, or look carefully then how we walk, not as unwise, but as wise. The third thing, the third tip for dealing with conflict is to not be blinded by the situation, but be circumspect, be able to see things clearly and understand what's going on. To do anything less, you might say, would be stupid. Which is number four. Don't be stupid. You know, as we look at verse 18, the proverb refers to someone who lacks sense. Also, verse 16 talks about someone who lacks sense. Now, in 18, this verse specifically warns us against providing security for someone who is trying to get a high interest loan. But that's the specific, specific application. But generally speaking, it warns us simply to not be stupid. How many issues of conflict could be avoided if we would simply heed the advice to not be stupid? Amen? Some of you were part of the student ministry here when Pastor Dan was our student pastor. And if you remember this, Dan didn't have many rules in the youth ministry, but he did have one. His one rule was don't be stupid. Yeah, and it, you know, it's a pretty good rule if you think about it. Don't be stupid. Well, just a moment ago, I encouraged you to be aware or to be careful about how you walk, or in other words, to walk circumspectly. Well, Proverbs 15:21 says, "Folly is a joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight ahead." When we're thinking about dealing with conflict, we need to remember that we need to not be stupid. The next thing that we notice is in the next verse, verse 19. And that is, we need to not be arrogant. Don't be arrogant. You see, in the second half of verse 19, it has a phrase here that says, makes his door high. Notice what it says. He who makes his door high seeks destruction. That phrase is a way to refer to a person who is arrogant or proud. Now, literally, it could refer to someone who has a very tall doorway. And, you know, by having a very tall doorway, they're flaunting their wealth. And so they're very proud of their wealth. But figuratively, it could refer to someone who is a braggart or someone who brags. Either way, pride is present, which results in a fall. So just as there's no room for stupidity, there's also no room for arrogance and pride in the middle of a conflict. If you want to experience reconciliation, which we've talked about many times before, I didn't talk about it to introduce the sermon this morning, but the whole goal of having conflict is reconciliation. Amen? Our goal is to reconcile with one another. Conflicts are going to come up. We want to reconcile. We want to restore that relationship. And so if you want to experience reconciliation, humility must be present in order to make that happen. Therefore, number five tip for dealing with conflict is don't be arrogant. Don't be proud. Now, the sixth tip that we have for dealing with conflict is to don't butt into other people's business. Don't butt into others' business. If you go back to verse 17 in chapter 26, we find the scripture says, "Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears." Now, this verse is pretty straightforward in its analogy. What will happen to you if you grab a dog that does not belong to you by its ears? What should you expect? You'll get bitten, for sure. Some of you have dogs that don't scare me. Some of you have dogs that definitely do scare me. I wouldn't want to grab your dog by its ears. You can expect to be bitten. Well, if you take that analogy and apply what it says, whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like that, then the person who gets involved in a quarrel that is not his own causes trouble for himself by interfering in a situation that he has little to no knowledge about what's going on. Remember a few minutes ago, we said don't be blinded by the situation? Well, here, when you butt into other people's business, you're getting involved in a situation that you really don't have understanding about what's going on. So, tip number 6 is don't do it. Don't get involved. Now, a few minutes ago, I directed you to stand together with your friend and your brother when they're dealing with troubled times. And so, which is it? Should you not interfere or should you stand together with them? Am I speaking out of both sides of my mouth this morning? Well, let me try to explain the difference of these two things. How can we discern when to get involved and when we should not get involved? What's the difference between being someone who meddles in a situation and being someone who provides that emotional support that their friend or their brother needs? Well, I believe that if someone asks us to walk with them, to support them during a trying season of their life, then we need to be there no matter what. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're there to fix their problems. We're there to be a support. We're there to be, just to be there. Because a brother is built for adversity. He's there when you're dealing with adversity. So if they ask us to walk with them through this, be with them through that. But if they ask for help in a situation, then it becomes our responsibility to do all that we can to help. And the first thing we need to do to be a help to them is to see it from all perspectives. Because we cannot be blinded by the situation. Just because someone is our friend doesn't mean that they're in the right. But it also doesn't mean they're in the wrong. We've got to see things circumspectly. We have to see it from all different perspectives. Without this perspective, we may be blinded to the situation. Now, if they don't ask us for our help, and it's not an issue of sin that's going on in their life where they need to be reproved or rebuked, then what should we do? We should stay out of it, because anything less is like grabbing a dog by its ears. Nothing good will come out of it if we jump in the middle and try to interfere. So, tips for dealing with conflict. We've got 1, don't be afraid to walk away. 2, don't run from trouble. 3, don't be blinded by the situation. 4, don't be stupid. 5, don't be arrogant. And 6, don't butt into others' business. 7, don't abuse sarcasm. Don't abuse sarcasm. Now, a few weeks ago, I talked at great length about sarcasm, and that may have been the catalyst for writing my newsletter article, sharing about the mixed reviews on this sermon series. If you hadn't read it, you can check that out. Sarcasm is, viewed by some as a spiritual gift, right? But we looked at that and we talked about how that sarcasm denigrates or disparages an individual, whereas irony is quick wit and humorous and funny. And too many times we sink to using sarcasm as a way to just try to be funny. But I wonder, have you ever had to deal with a person who is inconsiderate or abusive, who then tries to justify his words or justify his actions by saying, oh, I'm just kidding. That's what we're talking about here. 26 verse 18 and 19 says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. Folks, we've got to not abuse sarcasm. Solomon compares this person to a madman. Or you could say he's a berserk archer who is nothing but a troublemaker. His humor is in bad taste. It's just not funny. Sarcastic comments and inconsiderate wit have the ability to cut deep into the heart and soul of the person who is the recipient of those comments. The old phrase, sticks and stones, just really doesn't apply. Words do hurt. Words destroy. We've already said in this series multiple times that life and death are found in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 12:18 tells us there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Rash words, sarcastic, hateful, inconsiderate words are like getting stabbed with a sword. But it says, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Sarcasm is when you try to be funny and you say something that's very hurtful, destructive, and then at the end you say, I was only joking. The problem is, you are deceiving yourselves, because like a deadly arrow, the damage has already been done. You can't pass it off as just a joke. So folks, if you want a tip on how to deal with conflict, avoid sarcasm. Don't abuse sarcasm. The eighth tip for dealing with conflict is don't be a gossip. Don't be a gossip. What is the connotation of the word whisperer that we find in verse 20 and verse 22? Read those with me again in chapter 26. It says, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. What's the connotation here? Well, the meaning behind this word is a person who tells tales. In fact, the King James Version translates this word as a tale bearer. This is a person who is a slanderer, a malicious backbiter, someone who is a gossip. And it says very clearly, where there is no whispering, when there is no tale telling, where there is no slander or malicious comments, quarreling ceases. Verse 22, because the tales that are told, these malicious comments that are shared in, you know, text messages or phone calls or in the corners of the room, these tales are delicious morsels of information that people cannot resist. But if we will simply stop these malicious murmurings, the conflicts, it says, will also cease. So a tip with dealing with conflict is don't gossip. Because if we'll stop gossiping, the conflicts will cease. And finally, number 9. The 9th tip is to not stoke the fire. What do I mean when I say don't stoke the fire? Well, in verse 20, it talks about for lack of wood, the fire goes out. So the fire goes out because there's nothing to burn. In verse 21, it goes on and says, as charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. So charcoal and wood keep a fire going. And a quarrelsome man, or a man who is full of strife, a man who is full of contention, is the fuel for the fire of conflict. So if there's no fuel, there's no fire. So don't stoke the fire. A contentious man is the one who pokes and prods other people in a conflict until once again the wood, just like when you're stoking a fire and poking at the fire, you poke at it long enough and you move it around and the air gets to it, and what happens? Eventually, the wood that was almost dead, it seemed, all of a sudden becomes inflamed. The word strife that we find here in verse 21, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. That word occurs more than a dozen times in Proverbs, more than any other book in the Bible. And in one of those occurrences, Proverbs 17:19, that we just read a moment ago, it clearly states that anyone who loves strife, or anyone who loves quarreling, it says, loves sin, trespasses. Did you get that? Anyone who loves a good fight, what they really love, it tells us, is that they love sin. So, folks, if you get your kicks by stoking the fire, by stirring the pot, or by poking the bear, or by whatever euphemism you want to use to describe what you're doing, what it's really saying is you love sin. And you need to come to grips with the fact that that is sin that you are in love with. Last week, I mentioned Paul's instructions about this issue in his letter to the church at Rome. And I quickly summarized what Paul had said in Romans chapter 12, verses 14 to 21. But this morning, I feel like it would be a good thing for us to all come together, whether you want to say in harmony or in unity, whatever. But let's all come together and let's take a moment to read what Paul said in Romans 12, verse 14 to the end. I've put the words to these verses on the screen. And so I'm going to invite you to out loud read these verses with me. Would you do that? Romans 12, verse 14, the Bible says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh, if we would live by those words. All of us, every day for sure, every week, are going to be dealing with conflict on one level or another. 9 tips for dealing with that conflict. Don't be afraid to walk away. Don't run from trouble. Don't be blinded by the situation. Don't be stupid. Don't be arrogant. Don't butt into other people's business. Don't abuse sarcasm. Don't be a gossip. And for sure, don't stoke the fire. What is it that God's saying to you this morning in regard to the way you deal with conflict? What do you need to change about your day-to-day life and your interpersonal relationships? Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word and the wisdom that comes from the Proverbs. And Father, now as we go into this time of reflection, I pray that your Holy Spirit would descend upon our hearts and show us what it is that you want us to do differently in our lives. Lord, thank you for teaching these truths to me. Lord, help me as I attempt to live these things out in my day-to-day life. Lord, we just thank you again for your word and for providing it for us to be a guidebook for this life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.